Welcome to the Thoroughly Considered Member Special. Thoroughly Considered is a show where me and Dan Provost and Tom Gerhardt of Studio Neat, we talk about design and the products that they make and what it's like to design hardware and software and the like. Dan and Tom are part of the wonderful Studio Neat, and they make many products, including the Glyph and the Pano Book, etc., etc. And on this show, there is a running joke, because it's true, in that Tom always wants to talk about what's coming next for Studio Neat, what products they're working on, and Dan really doesn't want to talk about what's coming next and what products they're working on. Well, for our members special, Tom won. And today, we are going to talk about an upcoming, unreleased, unspoken about Studio Neat project that's been in the works for a little while. And I think that, Dan, you should introduce it for maximum uncomfortability.
Okay. I need a preface by saying, though, everyone who's listening to this must promise, it's kind of a friend EA, you're not allowed to tell anyone about this. That's the only reason I've agreed to do this.
If you will tell people, you need to turn off now. You need to go away.
Yeah.
You have to stop listening, all right? This is an honor system here.
We'll collect your membership money and then turn it off.
We'll come find you, and we'll have to ask you to be quiet. No, but yes, we are doing this as a thanks to the Relay FM member community, and that does come with a requirement for this episode, which is to keep this under your hats. Would be lovely.
Keep it chill, man.
Yes, what Tom said. Do that.
Let's cut that out.
Could leave that one on in the editing suite. Thank you very much.
we're making a pen.
Bah, 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 bah.
That's the end of the episode. Just cut it right there.
Obviously, I'm very excited about this, and I've had many, many, many opinions. Because we've been talking about it for a little bit.
Yeah, so basically, I'm trying to remember the order of events and the origin of this whole project, but it's something we've been thinking about for a while, and after the surprising to us success of the Pano Book project, it became obvious that this was going to be the next thing we were going to do. Even though we had it quite far along in the design process, if Pano Book was a total flop, I think it would have given us a little bit of pause, but we feel really good about it going forward. And so I think it...
I remember.
You remember? Go for it.
Yeah, I remember exactly my thought. So we were like in the very beginning of like notebook Pano Book design before it was Pano Book, like way early. And we were testing out pins, and I was like, I hate all these pins. Basically, I was like, there's not one that I like. And then I think you tried the Schmidt capless refill rollerball, and you thought it was great. And so I got one off Amazon. I was like, oh, this feels really great. I was like, this is an awesome pin. We should, why isn't there like a pin that, you know, is nice for this thing? And so we looked around, and there was like the Tornado retro tornado guy,
the retro 51 tornado, one of the best pens on the market today.
Yeah, but I think it's ugly.
No.
And so
well, so that's the whole thing. So I was actually trying to rewind even further, where after the failure of the Obi campaign, it all comes back to Obi.
Everything comes back to Obi.
We had kind of a come to Jesus moment a little bit, where we were like, what are we doing here? And we asked ourselves, because I think previously we had in our minds this idea of what makes a Studio Neat product. Is it about an aesthetic choice? Is it about a new spin on something that it exists? Is it a wholly new kind of conceptual idea? And I think we started to get a little bit more comfortable with what if it's enough to just design our take on kind of an existing product category? So I think the material docks are a good example of that, where iPhone docks are not something we invented, and there's tons of them. It's a pretty crowded market, in fact. But we wanted to see if we could carve out a little space for us, where it's, if people like us and they like our aesthetic and they like our sense of design and how we solve problems, can we do something interesting there without lighting the world on fire with this new concept that no one had ever encountered before? And so when we started to go down that path, it's like, like, should we make a watch? Should we make a chair? It's like you start to think of all these kind of common products that it kind of, the world becomes your oyster in a way. And so I think a pen was a pretty obvious direction early on. And that Retro 51 pen that Tom is talking about, Mike, I think you were actually there when that pen was gifted to me by our mutual friend Chase Reeves. He was like, hey, I have one of these, they're really good, you should have this.
Because I gifted one to Chase like a year or two earlier.
He re-gifted it to me, is that what happened?
No, well, maybe. I don't know the one he gave you, but...
I mean, I know this pen is beloved to you, but this thing had like an ace of spades, like design. Like, it is not good.
That may have been the one that I gave him. It was one of the card designs. It may have been like a king or something. He took a card design from me. You may have my pen. I'm not sure anymore. The thing is about the Retro 51 is they have lots and lots and lots of designs. They have lots.
They do.
So most people can choose one that they like, and some are gaudy and some are nice.
Yeah. So even the non-gaudy ones are still not our style.
No, they're not.
The furniture, I believe, is the term you taught
us. That is the correct term. Yes, the furniture. The furniture is the term for the metal parts of a pen. So stuff like a clip, and any metal, any kind of fixing which is put on a pen is called the furniture.
Mm-hmm. And so I had been a devout Stabilo felt pen user, which are unremarkable pens. They're extremely common overseas, right, Mike? Aren't they like yep. school children pens, basically?
Yeah, they are.
And so the really cheap pens, but I just really like felt pens. They suit my very scratchy handwriting. And so this Retro 51, which has this specific Schmidt rollerball cartridge in it, It was the first kind of non-felt pen I'd use. I was like, oh, this is really nice, and kind of feels smooth and writes really well, and I really liked it. And so once we had kind of both agreed on like, oh, this is a nice refill, I wonder if we should design a body for it. That's kind of how the whole process started.
My question to myself was like, and I think I said this, remember, like, should we make a pen? Is that weird? It was very much like that attitude, like, really? Yeah. Should we do this? And then I think the more we looked into it, the more we realized there was actually an opportunity to do something different. So what we're making is a click pen that uses that Schmidt rollerball refill, which is like a really awesome refill. And that is minimal. So it's like a minimal styling, just really simple, durable, using that awesome refill and a click pen. And that combo does not exist. And so it, not only are we making kind of our own thing, but also something that doesn't exist. And so I think for that was kind of like, okay, no, let's do this.
Almost every pen that uses the Schmidt-Kepler's refill has a twist mechanism to make the pen retract. And
I think I know why that is.
Why is that?
Which is so weird. Because so Schmidt, this German company, they make refills and mechanical pencil advancing mechanisms, all kinds of, and fountain pen nibs, all kinds of stuff. But they also make the mechanisms, the advancing mechanisms themselves. And the click mechanism that they make for the Schmidt is like not really that good. It's kind of awkward. But they make a ton of twist ones that work with the refill. So I think people just do a twist because that's the thing that exists. Like, that's what the German company makes, and it fits the refill and blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes you've just got to do the twist, right?
Yeah, sometimes you just got to do the twist.
Mm-hmm. We'll cut that out, too. it's all getting cut.
Dan is going wild with the editing.
Going wild, editing, jeez. Save it for later, Dan. So yeah, so that's the tack we thought we were first going to take. Like, oh, this is simple. Someone's done all the engineering for us. Like, we'll just take this cartridge and we'll build a body around it, and it'll be real easy and fast. Of course, what that turned into is we're making our own mechanism custom, and it's like, you know, harder than it should be. And so it's, you know, of course, that's where we end up always. I'm hopeful, like, oh, we can use all these off the shelf parts of Barisi. And then it's just like, the quick overview of like how this process went, you know, it's really easy to make a 3D printed prototype that, you know, kind of worked and like, you know, to get the form of how things work. But then we got to the step where we were trying to find a click mechanism that we really liked, that worked well, that we could integrate into the kind of body we want to do. And nothing exists. Like, we couldn't find anything good enough. There's some things that are kind of close, but they're like plastic and they aren't quite right. And so we've decided to design our own mechanism that is similar to one that exists. It's like the Schmidt cam style click mechanism that's all metal that a lot of Kickstarter pins use. It's a similar mechanism to that in design, but the thing is that mechanism, you have to have it exposed from the pin body. It has to be like sticking out the back, and which means we couldn't customize anything about it, the look. And so all these Kickstarter pins that use that, basically most clicky pins on Kickstarter, they use that mechanism, and they all kind of look the same on the back because they all use this exposed mechanism.
It's the one where it's got like a cuff on it, right? Like it's like a silver cuff, and then like the big silver pop up.
Exactly. I have 20 of them on my desk in front of me. and so that's a no-go for us. And so we are kind of making our own similar to that, a little bit different, that we will put inside and hide and everything. And so it feels cool because it's like a lot of the things are kind of proven out. Like, you know, they have existed in the world, people really like them, but we're just kind of tweaking, making it a little bit better, and putting it all in a cool little pin body. So, Dan, do you want to kind of give maybe, I guess, just like the overview, the 3-bullet-point overview of like what the pin is?
Yeah, why should people buy the Studio Neat pen, which may or may not have a name that I've heard, actually?
Well, we can say the name. Well, the name that we're going with now is the Mark One.
Oh yeah, I like it.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's really cute.
Good.
Is it too cute though?
Yeah, I don't know.
the three. Whenever we're like writing a script for the story for the Kickstarter video or whatever. I always like to have generally 3 kind of bullet points. And so for this one, it's minimal, durable, and retractable are kind of the 3 main qualities of this pen. So minimal is, I guess you'll just have to see it to understand, but basically it's a unadorned body that is a cylinder. There's no clip, there's no logo, there's no anything. It's just a tube body. The tip is a cone shape. And then there's a knock, which is another term we learned from Mike, which is like the clicky part that sticks out. That's the part that sticks out the back. So we're, as it stands right now, and this is interesting for the listeners, like if what we say now is not what we release, that's like an insight into the design process of how stuff changes all the time.
Which is one of the reasons that we don't talk about anything in advance, because stuff changes all the time.
But where we stand right now is we're planning to offer 2 versions, a light and a dark one, like a dark gray and a white one, essentially. And so the entire pen is made out of metal, including the mechanism and everything. It's all metal design, so it's very durable. And then it's going to be coated with a coating that's called Cerakote, which is basically a ceramic-based coating that is used. It's basically primary and essentially only use is for like firearms. Yep. If you want to like make your gun look like an American flag or whatever.
If you want to have a really good 25 minutes, which the three of us did, just Google Cerakote gun, and it's Cerakote.
Yeah.
Just Cerakote. Google Cerakote guns, and you'll have a whale of a time. There is just some weird and wonderful stuff.
Yeah, but it's a cool material in that it's incredibly durable. Like, that's why people use it on their guns. You can, it's not going to, you know, rub off or scratch off really. It, you know, it's not immune to abuse, but it's very durable. That's like the quality of this material.
It's the most durable. It's the most durable thing you can put on metal. That's not electroplating.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, so what's cool about it is because we're not anodizing or whatever, we have more of a kind of range of color and finish options. So the dark gray one has this really nice, how would you describe it, Tom? It's kind of...
It looks like stone. It looks like stone.
It has kind of a textured look to it, and it's going to have more of like a matte finish. And then the white one is going to be glossy. So not only are they different colors, but that they will feel different as well. And then... Where we stand right now for the exposed knock on the dark gray one, it'll be like a silver metal, like a light silver. And then on the white one, it's going to be like kind of a copper finish. They look really nice.
Yeah, one of the things that we spoke about very early on, like when you guys were first telling me about this, I believe, if I'm remembering right, that like what I was saying to you was really to try and stay away from just making an aluminium pen because... There are millions of them, you know, like the Kickstarter pens, and they all look the same to a point unless they have something that's different about them. And I think that you guys were looking at a lot of different materials, and I think that you have stumbled across a pairing which will really make this pen stand out, because I've never heard of this coating before, so I don't think anybody else is using it with any success. Right, like for pens, right? Like it seems like...
CW&T, our friends CW&T are using it for one of their pen type B. They have like a black pen type B, they're using it. But okay. Yeah, it's very, I mean, if you search Cerakote, it's CerakoteGunCoatings.com. So it's very like built for the firearm or like industrial finishing industry. And so yeah, putting it on a consumer product is like not normal. It's not unheard of. Actually, people cover... mugs, like insulated mugs, like Yeti mugs all the time. This is like a weird thing that people do, but yeah, so it's cool. The really great thing about it, opposed to like say anodizing is kind of a like somewhat translucent, transparent finish on a metal. Like when you see anodized metal, you can tell there's metal under there. It's like kind of shiny in the same way. And it kind of feels like that. But with Cerakote, it's completely opaque. So it's like paint, except it's baked on ceramic polymer. So it's like really, really hard and durable. And so it's like, for instance, it's like if you had a white plastic pen in terms of what it kind of looks like, except that it's metal and like feels weighty and heavy, just like a nice metal pen. So it's this really unique opportunity to do metal in a way that's like opaque and really durable and nice. And so, yeah, we're excited. I mean, so we have internally made prototypes and like, you know, internally done the Cerakoting and stuff. And so we have a really good idea of like what it will feel like and look like. And so, yeah, it's, they're turning out really well. And we're excited about, you know, it's great because, you know, we have these two options. We were going to start with like a light and a dark. But it's really easy for us to then make different color combinations and kind of do customization or limited runs or whatever down the road. So that's cool. It's nice that we have that flexibility. And Cerakote is nice because it's, you know, you can do that.
I should mention, Mike, you might remember, we were looking, one of the original directions we were looking at is having the knock that's sticking out be wood. And that is really unique. There's not too many or really any pens that do that, but we just couldn't quite get it to work in terms of how it felt for a few reasons. I think just when you have a wood piece that is that tiny, it just didn't feel the way I thought it would feel. It felt kind of cheap in some way instead of kind of nice and premium, and there's various reasons for that. But I thought that would have been cool, but I think where we're going now just feels kind of much more solid and durable. So I think it's a good direction.
It could maybe be like a limited edition thing we do at some point, but it is, it does add like an air of fragility to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get
like,
that.
You know, if you dropped it and it hit the knock, you could easily just like break the wood. Right. So it's just, it's kind of like, we had to let it go. Yeah. I mean,
and
we
I
had
guess,
it,
you know, wood changes, right? Like depending on whether like it can actually physically change in size, which might not be good for a mechanism like that.
We were worried about just the what that meant is that the tolerances couldn't be tight because it does change by, you know, a couple percentage easily, points easily. So that was a problem. So we were just really nervous about it, and so we decided to ditch it. It's funny, you know, this pin started out as pretty minimal, but it has become more and more minimal over time. You know, it doesn't have a roll stop of any sort, and for a long time we were holding on to that as like, oh, we want some roll stop, let's figure it out. But we just like we decided to ditch it. Like nothing, there wasn't a great solution, or if any solution also made it seem like that was a button that could maybe like release the cartridge from the click, you know, unclick or whatever. So we're just like, you know what? Let's just ditch it. So we continued to kill our darlings or whatever the phrase is. So yeah, I think we arrived. Hopefully. It's not too minimal, but they're so striking looking that it works out well. Like they go together.
I'm sad to hear there's no roll stop.
Yeah, sorry.
Just do it. You can add a clip if you want, Mike.
I don't really
a third
like
party clip.
I don't like
yeah.
Them. Well, for anybody that doesn't know, a roll stop does exactly what it sounds like it does. It stops the pen from rolling. Like it's just a little piece of metal, like a little kind of nubbin. That goes on the side of the phone and stops it from rolling away. It's that time of year, kids. It's fun season. So as it stands right now, what is the go-to market strategy for this product?
Kickstarter.
Okay.
For Xiao. Just because, you know, it's something new for us, so we don't know how the response will be. It's also could be pretty costly to make, if especially at low quantity. It's definitely something where quantity very much affects price, because it's most of the parts will be made, or all the parts will be made on like a Swiss screw machine, and the setup cost for those is like pretty high. And so if you're not running a lot of parts, they get like real expensive. So we need some decent volume to do it. So yeah, Kickstarter is definitely the way. It makes like total sense, I think, to us. So, you know, right now we are getting the pricing for the parts. And that's kind of our last step in validating, like, you know, is the pricing that we're looking at good? And will we be able to make it, you know, with the manufacturers here in the US and all this stuff? So we're kind of waiting on that, and if that looks good, then we're kind of somewhat in the clear to, you know, start doing a Kickstarter video and stuff. So we've thought, it's funny how simple of an object it is. We've like, I think we've made, I've probably made like 30 or more prototypes in house for like tweaking stuff. So we've been really fussing over it as always. And I think we've arrived at something that feels good. So we'll see.
Pens are a serious business.
Yeah.
Yeah, serious business.
Are we making any tragic mistakes that you can see?
I don't think so. I mean, I do really get upset at the idea of just pens that are just these cylinders. You know, like that it does frustrate me. But I do have some pens that are like that, and I live with it. But
yeah,
the pens that I own that are like that, I own them because there's something about them, right? Like they have a thing that I must own them. And it's typically the pens that I own that don't have these clips. They don't have clips or roll stops because they are so visually striking that it does that there should be no effect to the pen, right? You don't mess it up in any way. And what I think that from the way that you described it and some of the shots that I've seen, that this pen, the Mark One, will be visually striking in its simplicity and the fact that it's going to look unlike what it actually is. So it's a shame, but I can live with it because there will be a reason for me to own this pen because of the materials, right? Like that I would be willing to make a trade-off because it's going to be weird in a good way.
I think I totally know what you mean. Like, it's very easy, and we were worried for a long time that we couldn't arrive at something that looked good plain. Like, we had, you know, where we started was, oh, it can't be just like a cylinder with a tip on it. Like, it can't be that simple. But we have finally, you know, after making good prototypes and like really working on the proportions, which are like so key to making that work, that we have like a writer, something that like is, you put it on your desk, and especially with the Cerakote, it's like a strike. It is striking. Like, you, it would, maybe if there was some little tiny detail, it wouldn't be in the way, but it wants to be. It wants to be a clean like line. It wants to be a simple thing. So, to us at least, it feels good.
I kind of am hesitant to say this because it was an old prototype that's a little bit out of date, but we actually included a prototype in the Panobook Kickstarter video,
which I noticed immediately.
Yeah,
as soon as I saw it.
That is, it's changed a little bit. I mean, the basic idea is the same. So if you look, you can kind of get an idea of the dark gray one. I believe that one in the video has a wood knock, which we're not doing anymore.
There's also a photo on the page too.
That is. Yeah. You can just look at the photo.
And I think that one's just all metal, which won't be what we do.
But if you want an idea for the shape and kind of you'll get that at least, right? Like, this is what the pen will look like, what like the design of it's going to be, but the materials will change.
It's actually way different. It's, you know, it's way different in like, it's quite a bit shorter, not a wood knock, not all metal, but yeah, I mean, it's simple. You know,
it's way different to you. I mean, I specifically said shape, and you gave me three different things that were not shape, but yes.
Not as long. It matters. And thicker, I think.
But, you know, I don't really think people have that much of a sense of the size of it. But sure. Yes, sure.
Matters.
I know. Everything matters, guys. It all matters. How was that, Dan? Was it okay? Do you feel okay?
I feel really nervous now all of a sudden. I'm worried someone's going to steal the name now that we've said it out loud, actually.
Well, then you can just call yours the Mark II. Like, you know,
we can call it the Mark I. We'll just have more Google juice than them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, unless it's like Uniball that take it.
Yeah.
Those scamps over at Uniball listening
those
scamps.
In. Scamps.
Another thing we should briefly mention, I mean, it's not that important at this point, but what's cool about, I guess something we've learned about how pens work is this beloved Schmidt rollerball refill that we like is a what's known as a Parker style refill. And so what that means is there are a set of refills that you could swap out into this pen if you don't like the rollerball. So
yep, or if you want a different color, or if you want a different, completely different type of pen, like.
Yeah, so here's a super tease for like 2 years in the future. I want to make an all black titanium version that comes with a Fisher space pen refill to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So that'll be coming at you in 2019.
Okay.
So that's a super teaser.
Okay.
Good to know. Everyone hold their breath.
I hope we actually do that. That would be an amazing
if anything, you could just have one made just for you. You know?
Yeah.
That's right. $1,000.
Yeah, $1,000,000, because you just, you know, the amount of the
machinery. It probably would literally cost $1,000.
Yeah, it probably would. To have one of them, right? Like, it wouldn't cost $1,000 if you wanted to make it, but
no,
one of them.
But to have one.
All right, so remember, everybody, you got to keep this under your hats, okay? This was secret just for you. Thank you for being a Relay FM member. We really, really appreciate it, and we hope that some of these bonus episodes and some of the extra content that we give for you make that worth it. And we try our best to make that exchange as good as we can. If you're not a Relay FM member, it's okay. Just go to relay.fm/membership and sign up, and you can be absolved of the guilt that you will now feel for having come across this. So thanks, everybody. And you can find our show at relay.fm/TC. And we hope that if you haven't already, that you'll give it a listen.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.